Chapter 1 Is psychology a science? Is it one science or many sciences? Should psychology be a science in all situations? Is psychology a science? Note the words pure science, hard science, and true science are used as synonyms in the following paragraphs. Psychology is a science by definition. A discipline that incorporates scientific methods of experimentation and observation. However, psychology is not a pure science. Psychology differs from the hard sciences in many ways, such as the degree of predictability of experimental results. It is not possible to predict with certainty how a human being, or even an animal, will behave under a given set of conditions. A counter-argument to this is experimental results in psychology are usually reproducible. This argument fails because the results are often based on statistical results with a significant percentage of the subjects responding in a non-predictable way, which is not typical of a pure science. With a hard science, such as chemistry, it is possible to predict with certainty how two chemicals will react under a given set of environmental conditions. A counter-argument to this is that chemistry cannot predict precisely how an individual atom will react at a given instant in time. However, this argument fails because the entities that are studied in chemistry are chemicals, and the chemist does not make predictions about the behavior of an individual atom. The same is true in physics. The physicist does not make predictions about the behavior of an individual subatomic particle. Another counter-argument is the theories of some of the hard sciences, such as chemistry and physics, are not perfect predictors of results, and are no more precise than many psychological theories. This argument fails also, because the hard sciences are based on experimental evidence that has been verified a large number of times. The chemist can tell in advance which theoretical models will work with a particular chemical reaction and which theories will fail to predict the final results of the reaction. The psychologist cannot tell in advance which theories will predict actual results on a given individual and which theories will fail to predict the true outcome. Another counter-argument is scientists working with advanced experimental chemistry and physics cannot make predictions that are any better than psychologists working with human beings. This argument also fails, because results that are not predictable are not considered valid proof of a reaction in the hard sciences. The experimental proof becomes valid when it can be reproduced in a predictable way. And then it may become part of the generally accepted literature in the field of chemistry and physics. Contrast this with psychology, which generally cannot make any precise predictions. Rather, imprecise experimental results can become part of the literature of psychology. There are many other factors that rule psychology out as a true science. Some of these factors are discussed in the following paragraphs. It is not always possible or practical to deal with human beings as objects of a scientific study. Experimental results may be influenced by the expectations of the experimenter, and the subjects may be influenced by what they believe the experimenter wants of them. Of course, some of the difficulties with psychological experimentation can sometimes be avoided by carefully planning the experiment, such as using double-blind methods, and a uniformed representation of the population that is being studied. The latter is seldom used in psychology. Most experimental subjects are not a representative sample of a general population. They are usually young college students. College students are really a very unusual segment of our society. This might not be apparent to the experimenter who most likely works on a college campus. However, if we list some factors that relate to most college students, we become aware of the unusual circumstances of this population. Most college students are young, recently left home to attend school, and are single. This population is facing a very challenging and anxiety-provoking set of circumstances. They are trying to obtain academic success, and most are involved in the mate selection process. This generally results in partial failure and some rejection, which is coupled with partial success and some acceptance. In addition, less than half of the general population attends college. The college environment contains more middle and upper class people than the general population. This was even more true when many of the older psychological studies were carried out in the 40s, 50s, 60s, and 70s. Thus, any psychological experimentation carried out with college students as subjects would only apply to the population of college students, from a scientific perspective. Of course, the same results might be obtained if individuals from the general population were used, but it is unreasonable and unscientific to assume this to be true. Most likely, if the many experiments that were carried out in psychology were tried on the general population, different results would be obtained in at least some cases. The counter-argument to the points made in the above paragraph are as follows. The practices described are simply poor experimental procedures. However, This argument fails because material based on these poor procedures was printed and became part of the literature on psychology. In the hard sciences, such poorly performed experiments generally would not be published. A truly scientific approach to psychological experimentation would involve either a representative sample of the population as subjects, or the study of a target population, such as senior citizens, middle-aged people, college students, prisoners, mental patients, etc. And of course, when experimental subjects are selected from such a target population, the results would apply only to that population, from a scientific perspective. This might not be so from a specific philosophical perspective that is less restricted than a scientific approach. Some of the ideas in psychology can be more accurately classified as philosophy, rather than science, such as psychoanalytic theory and humanistic psychological approaches. These philosophical ideas generally cannot be measured and evaluated with experimental methods, which is the very reason that they are not classified as scientific. The counter-argument to this is that the philosophy is not psychology, but psychologists use this philosophy in their practices and it is found in books on psychology. Thus, the counter-argument is a weak one. Another counter-argument to the above is that the physical sciences contain some philosophy. Most of the philosophy in the physical sciences relates to the methodologies used, such as the experimental method and the goals of scientific research. The hard sciences contain very few ideas that cannot be at least partly confirmed by either observation or direct and or indirect experimental methods. Thus, this argument is also a weak one. Other reasons psychology is not a pure science is because there are a huge number of factors that can influence human responses. Perhaps, the primary reason is each human mind is different from every other mind. This is even true with animals to some extent. The pure science of chemistry can be used as a comparison once again. For example, one batch of pure hydrogen is chemically identical to any batch of hydrogen with the same level of purity. The fact that chemicals with the same name are identical makes it easy for the chemist to make accurate predictions, and the fact that all human beings are different makes it almost impossible for the psychologist to make any accurate predictions. The psychologist is sometimes dealing with mental processes that cannot be directly observed, such as how the individual feels, what the individual is thinking, what the subject believes, how intelligent a person is. Of course, there are indirect ways of evaluating and measuring all of the above, but this is not the type of absolute observation and measurement that is typical of the hard sciences. The mathematical precision of the hard sciences generally ranges from 3 to 10 places. The precision of psychology is at best 1 or 2 places. But usually its accuracy is much lower, such as with certain testing methods, which have an accuracy of only 50 to 20%. See the articles on psychological testing, chapters 20 and 21. This low level of accuracy should not be confused with statistical significance. Experimental results in psychology can sometimes have a very high level of statistical significance, but this does not necessarily relate to the precision of the hypothetical model that is being tested. A high level of statistical significance only means that it is highly unlikely that the experimental results could happen from random chance. That is, a hypothetical model that was tested could have been very inaccurate, but the experimental results could have a very high level of statistical significance. The psychologist has very poor measuring devices, such as the Rorschach inkblot and IQ tests. Often a detailed interview of a subject can provide more accurate information than the measuring devices available to the psychologist. This is especially true when interviews are carried out over a number of sessions. That is, interviews can reveal actual behavior patterns, strengths and weaknesses that manifest in real-life situations. However, the interviews, even if coupled with the best psychological measuring devices, does not approach the precision that the hard sciences can obtain. Thus, psychology is typical of the other human behavior sciences, such as sociology, organizational behavior and anthropology, which can be called the soft sciences. All of the above can be a disadvantage when psychology is applied to a practical problem, because the results are not predictable. Contrast this with a hard science, such as physics. The laws of physics can be applied to the construction of a skyscraper costing hundreds of millions of dollars with no fear of failure. The engineer applying the principles of physics can be extremely certain of his results. He may place hundreds of tons of steel and concrete above the heads of hundreds of human beings. This is true confidence and it is justified by the precision of the pure sciences. The practitioner who applies the principles of psychology cannot have this type of confidence. There is a relatively simple way of dealing with the uncertainties of psychology when applied to practical problems. In each situation that a theory or method of psychology is applied to a problem, it can be considered an experiment. The results are carefully evaluated to see if the problem truly was solved by the psychological methodology that was applied. If the method failed, modification of the technique or substitution of a different theory or method should be applied to the problem. And the effort can be repeated, modifying both theory and technique, until the problem is solved. Is psychology one science or many sciences? There are many different schools of psychology, such as behaviorism, psychoanalytic theory, gestalt psychology, humanistic therapies, etc. Each school has essentially a philosophy associated with it. The different schools of psychology do not necessarily agree with each other. Thus, it could be argued that psychology is a number of related disciplines, which certainly are not pure sciences. It is interesting to contrast psychology and its many schools with the hard sciences. There are many different subdivisions of physics, but there is essentially no disagreement between the generally accepted theories from the different subdivisions. This is also true of chemistry. In fact, the theories of chemistry are to a considerable degree based on physics. In a sense, all the hard sciences are really one science. However, psychology can be thought of as a number of related soft sciences, which do not totally agree with each other. Should psychology be a science in all situations? In the laboratory, psychology should always be a science. However, when psychology is applied to certain problems, it is not always an advantage to be scientific. The application of psychology in terms of psychotherapy is often quite unscientific. In general, psychotherapy is more of an art than a science. This is not necessarily undesirable in all cases. Human beings are not physical objects. They are conscious beings who have philosophical belief systems. And the client in therapy may be seeking relief from a general set of life circumstances and/or their own irrational thinking processes. That is, a troubled person may not have a clearly defined problem that can be solved scientifically. Additional reasons why it might be better that psychology is not always scientific are the following. Trying to solve certain practical problems scientifically is time-consuming and unnecessary. Most human beings probably would not like to be treated as a scientific object, which might result if the application of psychology was absolutely scientific. However, there are practical psychological problems that can be clearly defined and solved with scientific methods. It would probably be better if psychology became more scientific to treat such problems. I believe that psychology could become more of a science in the future. Just as the physical sciences advance to higher levels of scientific perfection, so can psychology. However, progress has been much slower in all the human behavior sciences, but these sciences do seem to be advancing.